Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Sideline Junkies Podcast Network, brought to you in conjunction with Clear Production Sports. I am the Midnight Rider. That's the big guy, KG. That's the boss man, BJ. We are welcoming you into another episode of the Tuesday Night Flight. KG, talk to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, please take the time out to do a few things for us tonight. Number one, Google Sideline Junkies, and you'll see our logo. It's either going to be white or black, depending on what platform you're on. Go to it. Every platform that you use, whether it's YouTube, iHeart, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, doesn't matter, Google Podcasts, anything. Like, subscribe, and share. That's number one. Number two, see that link for those out there in podcast land that are watching. For those that will be listening later on, www.buymose.com/discount/maniacs. Use our discount code to get yourself a tasty beverage on the Fort Mose site. Anything that you like to drink, bourbons, whiskeys. I think they got a rye, got a few different things. So go ahead and hit that up. Take a little bit off, $10 off on us. Over $100, get free shipping. Last but not, certainly not least, for those of you that have been watching social media as well as the news today, our hearts go out to those affected by the Key Bridge collapse up in Baltimore. Not the way that I expected to wake up this morning. Not the way that anybody involved expected to wake up this morning. So our hearts go out to them. It's just it's a mess right now. It's a mess. So we're going to try to put your mind at ease. Let your conscience be free. You're now rolling with the fellas from the Sideline Junkies. Boss BJ in the house. He missed his cue. He missed his cue. Midnight Rider in the house.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Woo.
So, fellas, let me get myself together. We got new rules in the NFL, okay? New rules in the NFL. I don't know if you fellas seen it yet. Have you?
Yeah, we've seen some of it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I've seen, I got a gist of it.
Okay. One of the things that they did was hip tackling. That's when you grab a player and you just use all your weight and pull them down. That is banned now. That is a 15-yard penalty. Somebody posted something about if this is available in 2000 for the Super Bowl, the Titans probably would have won that Super Bowl.
That's not the same tackle.
No, it's not. Because that was a good form-fit tackle. And you don't see tackles like that very often, where it was that perfect.
Right, but exactly.
Still, no hip tackles.
I thought it was the swivel hip drop. You got to say the whole piece of it.
Swivel. I heard hip tackle. I didn't hear nothing about no swivel hip drop.
It's a swivel hip drop tackle. And the swivel is the key point, because you can drop and tackle, but you can't swivel and drop and tackle. You tell me how the referee's going to figure that out. Just let me know how that works.
Yeah, I like to know how that is too. Here's another one. NFL trade deadline will be 1 week later. Normally the trade deadline is week 8. The trade deadline is moved back to week 9. And that was proposed by the Pittsburgh Steelers. Coaches get a third challenge. Coaches no longer have to win their first two challenges to get a third challenge. Now they don't have to win one of the first two challenges to be awarded a third. Changes the replay yet again. Here's a list. I'm reading this from Yahoo Sports. The replay assistant will now be allowed to correct objectively incorrect calls for intentional grounding and roughing the passer. Replay review will be allowed when there is a clear and obvious visual evidence that the game clock expired before the snap. And finally, ruling of a passer down by contact or out of bounds before throwing a pass are now reviewable plays.
Why are they so stubborn? Like, you already know what you're trying to do. Just go ahead, take, what do we have? 16 sites for games? Get 16 sky officials or officials, just like they do in the they were doing an XFL. You took their kickoff rule, so you might as well take this. Get a sky ref or a referee that has the ability to kind of look back and help out on plays. You do it from New York anyway.
Yes. Yes.
So let's either do it from New York or have somebody on site and get the angles and look at this and get it correct.
Now, here's one that I really didn't like. And that is the kickoff rule. So instead of the traditional kickoff rule where you have the kicking team all lined up. Let me go back to the top here because I saw this and I was like, yeah, this is not, huh?
So they lined up at the 40 and the other team's 40. And then they have the landing zone or the setup zone, and it's non-players from the return team or the receiving team that are scattered out, and then there's two players in the landing zone, or one player depending on your choice. I'm guessing most teams are used two, so that way guys don't have to run all across the back to get to the football. Like, you don't have to get teams won't be able to angle kick you basically. You know, you have guys on each side and you can go from there. And then it's also I think if it's a touchback, like you kick it out of the end zone, it comes to the 30. And then there's something else going on. I mean, I get it because they're trying now. It's like they try to legislate the kickoff out, but now they realize all they did was make the extra point more exciting and made the kickoff the point where everybody goes to get their drinks and go to the bathroom. So they had to fix something. They had to do something different. And it's, I mean, because the good thing is it's a year rule. So then they figure it out on the fly and come back and do something else. But go ahead, because I already see the face. I already see the disgust.
Before you fire away, KG, this is two things I'm hearing from the NFL. They're admitting that their officiating absolutely sucks ass. That's the first thing. With the extra challenges and all this other good stuff, right? And then, I mean, we just had a kick returner get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, and now you're changing the rules. I don't know. I'm gonna have to see. I'm just one of those people. I'm gonna have to see this to make me a believer of this. I hate this right now, but I'm gonna turn it over to the big guy and let him rock and roll.
Before you go, if you've seen the XFL, you get the gist of what this rule is. Where the kick team and return team are like 5 to 10 yards apart. Because what they're trying to stop is the high impact, the high velocity impact hits on a kick return. This doesn't make sense to me, but because we can play on Tuesday and we can play on a Wednesday. But we worried about, never mind. I'm gonna stop there.
Go ahead, KG. I think that's the reason when they sat in the boardroom that they came up with to make it sound good. I just think they're trying to make, like they always are, offense and more explosive plays. Because like in this setup, you know, there is nobody behind anything. And if you got somebody with a good head start and find a good crease, you're going to see more kickoff returns. So now you're talking about possibility of kickoff, return, touchdowns, and yardage being shattered with this. But let's make it sound good and say is hey, we, you know, we're trying to lessen the impact on these blows and this, that, and the other. I mean, it is what it is. KG, it's yours, baby.
I'm going to say this. I've watched a game of football all my life. I've studied the intricacies of it. What formation, like, I've gotten down to the point where I almost got it down to a science, how to get the right rotation to get a backspin in the corner of the 1 yard line and the goal line. You know, I that's how much of a student of the game I am. And you go and you change the kickoff rules. You claim it makes it safer, but you have 11 guys lined up. Well, 10 guys and a kicker, but some of these kickers are just as rough as your toughest linebacker. But you got 11 guys lined up. You got 9 guys lined up, 2 guys in the back. So you're still going to wind up getting that head up, that collision that you're trying to avoid. You went as far as saying, okay, no more 5-man blocking wedges. That was done with. Then you dropped it down to 3. All right, no more 3-man blocking wedges. Then you dropped it down to 2. Now you done changed this. Oh, it's just, it's all about player safety. And but is it really about player safety? Is it really? Because once you move the kickoff to the 35-yard line, because you didn't want as many kickoffs being returned, then you started complaining because, oh, there's not enough kickoffs being returned. It's not exciting anymore. I don't, this is the rule change I do not like. The NFL has always been the standard for football. They didn't go and say, let's test this. Let's see what Canada's doing, what CFL's doing. And, oh, let's do that because that works in the CFL. You know, they didn't say, let's see what Arena's doing because Arena's doing this. Let's do this. Pretty soon, there are going to be no more extra points because you're going to have to start going for 2. Then it's going to be no more kickoff. You're going to wind up just be like, all right, heads or tails? Tails, all right, you won the toss. You take the 5? Yeah, I'm going to take the 5. And the referee's going to start at the goal line, and he's going to walk 5 and put the ball down. You got to go 95 yards every time because we took the 5. Nah, we want the throw-off. That's what they're going to start doing. They're going to start doing the throw-off. Like, what are we doing here?
But they did use the XFL's model, KG. So you mean
they sure did. I was about to say the same thing. Fire away, Midnight Rider.
No, I think they finally took advantage of having a spring league. And I wouldn't doubt that somebody said, hey, Dean, because Dean Blandino is involved with the XFL. They got another official involved with the USFL. I wouldn't doubt that somebody said, hey, try these 2 things out. Let's see how it works, and maybe we can implement them. And I think that's exactly what we've done here. I thought you'd be more upset about the hip swivel drop tackle instead of this, but okay.
I can't be upset at that because I don't like when people do that. I don't like when you take all your weight and you put it on somebody and you kind of just – you drag them down like that, because if you've ever been dragged down like that, that's not a comfortable feeling. And if I'm not mistaken, isn't that how Bo Jackson dislocated his hip? Isn't that how his hip got dislocated?
Nah, I don't think it wasn't that type of play. His was a different. His was just a, like, it's him and, like, what's this, another Raider. I think it was Napoleon Kaufman or somebody like that. That had that type of hip injury happen in a freak incident. Like, the way he was being tackled is more so the way he landed than the tackle itself.
And I mean, he's a boss because he did pop his hip back in place.
Yeah.
While laying on the field and then walked off. So, but yeah, and then last but not least, let's get to this last one. Emergency quarterbacks. Emergency third quarterbacks who are available to play in case a starter and a backup are ejected or injured can now be elevated from both the 53-man roster and the practice squad. Last season, emergency quarterbacks could only be elevated from the 53-man roster.
Stupid.
I remember at one point in time, almost every team carried three quarterbacks on game day.
But that's you're talking about a different NFL, and where you are now with different roster needs and more injuries. It seems like, you know, just you know, I always point to my team. Just look at, you're running a mass unit every year on defense, and you can't afford. If you could go in the game and get away with one quarterback and the punter being the backup to get whatever position group you're thin on, linebackers, corners, like, you know what I'm saying? You're down to practice squad players and signing other people's practice squad players. That's how some you know, these injuries are hitting teams. So it's a whole different NFL, you know, carrying, you know, a fullback and two or three wide receivers and four running backs and a fullback and three tight ends. It's not that NFL anymore.
And think about this. You absolutely right when you say it's not that NFL anymore, because I remember a point in time you had Mark Rippon as your starter, Stan Humphries was your backup, Jeff Rutledge was your third string. And
yeah, but those, well, think about it like this. The investment in the quarterback position has dictated some of this, where the top person in the locker room is making upwards of 45 to 50 million, depending on who the quarterback is. Then your backup is making another 7 or 8, depending on who he is. And I think this rule was put in place because the NFL noticed that coaches were skirting last year's rule. They weren't trying to bring somebody up. Very few teams actually carried a third on game day. So it was this was kind of like, all right, you know what? Since you want to take advantage of the rules this way, let's make it so you have to dress a third quarterback, essentially, because we're tired of these situations. We don't want a situation where we're looking at Christian McCaffrey on the field playing quarterback because the top two quarterbacks are injured this week. Because last year, the rule was you could carry a third quarterback and it wouldn't count against your 53 on game day, or whatever the number is for game day. It wouldn't count against that. But teams didn't want to waste a spot on the 53 for that third quarterback. I mean, think about Washington last year. Last year, Jake Fromm was on the practice squad. So they're trying to combat that thought process and still make sure that they have they're not going to have three competent quarterbacks, but three people that have the letters Q and B beside their name. What? You calling timeout? You got those?
Yeah. When you say competent, I think any player that's on that level is a competent quarterback. I mean, if you know the offense, you know the offense. I don't want to discredit any player that has made it to the highest level. And, you know, you say that they're not competent. I don't want you to say that. I mean, you can say what you want, but I don't agree with it.
Okay. I watched a lot of Dorian Thompson-Robinson and Jake Fromm and Nathan Peterman. So I would say some of these guys,
And I get what you're saying, KG, but there's a reason why a guy's a number two, a number three. There's a reason why guys are on the practice squad. It's just the drop off. Let's just stay with the starting quarterback and the backup. Even on a bad team, the skill set from the starter to the backup is a death drop off a cliff sometimes. So I get what you're saying, and no, we never want to take away from anybody that's made it to this level, but
there are reasons why, and it's, you know, in a few instances, guys don't get a chance. You know, we talked about guys that we wish to, you know, see get a chance or could have been strung along and had journeyman careers like, you know, some of the other players. Some people don't get a chance, but a lot of times it's skill set. You're good enough to be the backup. Maybe you're good enough to get us through a 2 or 3 game stretch where we got a really good team, really good defense, and we can fight on some games and maybe get out of there 500 or with at least one win and could bridge us until the guy that you're paying $50 million get back.
I mean, look at Josh Dobbs last year. Like, everybody thought he was the second he got in more than 3 games, he turned into a pumpkin. I'll say it that way. Then he went to Minnesota, had 2 good games, and then that pumpkin came back. You know, just kept jumping back out there. So, I mean, it's we're at a level where the second guy is not even supposed to be good because we don't want his name to be known by fans so they can be yelling for him all year long, even though most cities they do.
I think that it's not just a Washington thing. That's what I think. Because, okay, let's take a side trip real quick. We're talking about backup quarterbacks. I think that's only a thing in D.C. because I've seen Dan Marino go down and Scott Mitchell come in. Scott Mitchell won a couple games. Nobody was ever calling for Scott Mitchell to come in.
No, you're not listening to the fan base. You're not in that city. Now, right. This is my challenge to you this season. When a team loses, let's say the Falcons lose, you go listen to Falcons, whatever their radio is, they beat reporters and stuff, and you listen for them call for them to cut Kirk Cousins' baby blue eyes out of his head. Okay? That's all you got to do, because we got the technology now.
Yeah.
We got just the technology now.
Come on over to Audis. I mean, come on over to 92.3 Cleveland, Ohio radio. You can still hear them talk about, you know how we talk, they talk about RG3 and Kirk. Well, they still talking about Baker Mayfield and whatever the Bakers are, whatever his fan base is called, the Baker Hyatt or whatever it is. They still call into the station. I told you last year, they cried for Joshua Dobbs. Oh, why did we trade him for a fifth? Look at what he's doing in Arizona. It's like, just like I do Eddie Jones. I said, just give it some time. And he'll go right back to who he was. And boop, there it was. He just realized he was Josh Dobbs. Like, sometimes that happens. You know, player starts playing good. He started seeing the press clippings. Like, I can do this. And then that one morning, he wake up and look in the mirror. And he's like, I am Josh Dobbs. And, like, all the talent just gets sucked out of his body. And he goes back to being normal.
So, BJ, being a Buffalo Bills fan for as long as you have been a Bills fan. When you had Kelly, you had Frank Reich. You never clamored for Frank Reich to be the starter.
Stop going back to these prehistoric.
No. Let me address him.
Okay.
There was a clamor for Frank Reich, especially when he had the comeback game. There was a clamor like, hey, Kelly didn't let us down a couple Super Bowls. Maybe Frank's the answer. There was.
I don't remember that.
No. I wouldn't remember it either. But now listening to having the reach I have with as far as like listening to Buffalo Radio, listening to the pages, looking at, you know, this different fans' perspectives. It's amazing. You know, you see, hey, do you think, you know, we should have cut our losses with Jim? And let Frank, you know, gave him a chance, blah, blah, blah. The Doug Flutie, Rob Johnson, that whole thing. Like,
yeah,
no,
that I do know.
It's there. All you have to do, and Midnight Rider said it, all that backup has to do is come in and do 33 for 41, 374, 4 touchdowns and interception. And the people are at the stadium on their knees with chocolate in their hands, ready to go. Like, this is our guy. Where have you been, Lord Prince? And they just don't know that, you know, it is the whole not having the tape and knowing a guy's strengths and weakness and this is where your professional defensive coordinators come in. Okay, I know you can't do this, this, and this. We're going to take this away. We're going to take this away. We're going to absolutely make you play to your weakness. That's where your number one, your Patrick Mahomes, your Josh Allen, your Burrow, or your Marlon Jackson, that's where your top ones, like, it don't matter what you take away. I can do it all. But then there's some guys where you take away certain things, certain looks, or you're confusing them on defense with a certain look, and they vanish. And that's all she wrote.
Yeah, there's certain guys that can't escape out to their right or don't like escaping out to their right. And that's the whole game plan is we want to attack from the left side. So then when you got it, the only way you can escape the pocket is to go right. But BJ, you being too nice about it. I've seen Joshua Dobbs go 11 of 23 for 165 yards and people crying for him in Cleveland. I heard some guy on the radio this year. Every time he got the chance to call the fan, he was asking for Jake Fromm. Oh, we should see what we have in Fromm. What? Did you not just see the man go? What? Of course, somebody was yelling for what's the other dude that we had last year? Jacoby. I mean, and then like I said, you go other places and you listen, like Flacco. They were crying in Cleveland. Why didn't we bring Flacco back? Like, these conversations happen everywhere where that starter isn't the guy. And even with places where he's the guy, they'll be like, oh, well, maybe we should move on from him next year because maybe we're paying him too much. You know, I bet there's probably a Josh Herbert conversation somewhere in Los Angeles saying, let's move Herbert since everybody thinks McCarthy is the guy. There's probably a group of fans out there right now with that thought process.
It's a group of fans out right now that suggested a Josh Allen trade. A package to send off Josh Allen to move up in the draft and draft one of the younger QBs because Josh can't get it done. I'm just telling you I just look at it and I just shake my head. You know, there are Kansas City fans that be like, hey, you know, do we get rid of him now and go get a younger QB of the future? There are people out there. And I know it's so hard to believe because it's like with Pat Mahomes, there shouldn't be any conversation. But there are folks out there be like, look, man, we got to think about the future. We can go back and get a whole – remember that draft thing we looked at where that guy picked like 27 picks or something stupid? Yeah, it's people out here like that. They're like, man, we can rebuild a team this year.
Yep. See, now being in DC, of course, I heard all the Jacoby Brissett stuff, and I was like, you get Jacoby Brissett to start. Oh man, we got it. But see, the thing is, last year, well, season before, which was 20, this is 23, so that was 22. Oh man, we got to get Sam Howell on the field. Sam Howell need to play. We need Howell. You get Howell. Heineke ain't it. But before, it was, man, we need Heineke. You see what he did in the playoffs? We need Heineke. You get him. He play a few good games. He have an off game.
You said Heineke, right?
Yeah.
So, I'm sorry. You said you play a few good games? And then you play a bad one?
Just stick with me here. It went from, oh, man, I love his mobility. I love how he's not scared, and he steps up in the pocket. He ain't scared to go out and run and do this. Then he do it. Man, I don't know why he did that, man. We need Howell on the field. We need to see what Howell can do. Man, we need Howell. Then Howell gets on the field. Man, I love how he stands in the pocket. He take a shot, still deliver a dart. Then you get tired. Man, we need somebody else, man. I don't, man. Jacoby Brissett guy coming here. We got to do something, man. This ain't right. Damn. But it's like that. I'm used to that in D.C. I never knew it was like that anywhere else other than Dallas. Because I've seen so many Dallas fans saying, hey, let's cut our losses with Dak. They talk about drafting Shedeur Sanders. They like, let's get Shedeur Sanders in here, man. He better than, and Skip Bayless, of course, he fueling the fire. Shedeur Sanders right now is better than Dak Prescott.
Mm.
damn, man. That's all I can say was damn, man.
Nah, I mean, these fan groups don't help because you get people in the fan groups that some people just say whatever. So I hear you, dog. I just tell you, like, I say sometimes you got to cut your access to certain people. Like, I was in multiple commanders groups, and I'm in one because that's where the same people are. So I just deal with that one.
Same here.
Actually, no, I'm in two, but I only pay attention to one.
I'm only in one. I'm in two. I'm in an old school one, and I'm in a current one. Yeah. The old school one, it is just that they talk about Joe Jacoby and all, you know, getting Jacoby to the Hall of Fame and the glory days of the Hogs and George Allen, you know, just about history. That's all it's about. I had to leave a lot of the commanders groups because they started crying and complaining. Oh, I'll never call them the commanders. They'll be the Redskins for me. Change the name back. And I was like, all right, man, if this all y'all going to talk about, y'all don't want to talk about the game. I'm not watching them. They're dead to me. Then why are you in this group? Every week, same thing. They're dead to me. They're dead to me. I hope they lose every game. They're dead to me. Okay. Okay. Moving right along. How does your bracket look? I know mine's busted.
Mine isn't busted, but I think I'm in third place or fourth. I'm tied with third, but like four of the people in our junkies bracket. I think my friend Sarah Graziani is in first place. She might be in first and second place because I know she did two brackets. So that's where we are on our brackets. The sideline junkie bracket, I think we're either beneath that. I think we're like, by that time, it's probably like sixth or seventh after you get everybody else's.
10th.
Yeah. Huh?
10th.
Oh, okay. I was being next to us.
I think Nisha's already eliminated. That's Latern. I think she's already eliminated. Maddie Ice is 9. The Boss BJ is 8. Xavier is 7. Excuse me, JoJo 6, Midnight Rider, Scooter, and myself are tied for third. And you said Sarah, right?
Yeah.
She is 1 and 2.
Yep.
Yeah, looks good, but
I'm not even worried about the bracket. I got like I told you before, I got a little change on the final four. If my four can get there, we going to Sizzler.
as it stands right now, here's your Sweet 16. From the East, you have UConn versus San Diego State, which is on Friday at 7:30. And Iowa State versus Illinois, which is Friday at 10 p.m. From the South, you have Duke versus Houston. They got no time on that one.
It's whatever time is convenient for Duke.
Pretty much.
Nah, it's great because it's the second game. So that's why I was going to raise my hand on, because I just saw a thing where, like, and it's fans of my team. It's the Carolina fans because they're the second game. They're like, well, why can't they move the games up earlier? Games have been played at 7 and 10 that Thursday and Friday night for God knows how long. But now, because it's inconvenient to you, people are sitting there crying, whining. They're making all these different posts. Oh, change the times. The NCAA don't have a perspective on time zones. No. The only issue is you got to wait till your team plays. Your team plays at 10. More than likely, it's going to be 10:20 because you got to wait 20 minutes for for them to clear the floor.
Yeah.
So, like, stop. Like, come on. Like, what are we becoming as a world where every time something's inconvenient to us, it's like, oh, my gosh, we got to bitch and moan and we got to ask for change because it's not convenient for us.
Well, that is the way of the world now. So,
jeez, I'm sorry. Let me shake my fist at the cloud because that's exactly what that was.
Also in the South, Marquette versus NC State. Coming down to the West, North Carolina versus Alabama. That is also that Marquette versus NC State is Friday.
Right.
Friday at 7:09. Coming down to the West, North Carolina versus Alabama, which is Thursday at 9:30. Clemson and Arizona, which probably the late game because that doesn't have a date or a time on it. Going over to the Midwest, you have Purdue versus Gonzaga and Creighton versus Tennessee, which is also Friday at 10:09. So, for the most part, we got good games coming up, you know, but bracket's busted. I gotta see how everybody else's bracket's looking, you know, worldwide. Do we have a perfect bracket?
And at one point there was three left. But yeah. The problem, I mean, the difference this year is, and we talked about this a little bit. This is the bracket that everybody, this is what the world really wants. I think you have 3-1 seeds, if not all four. You got 3 of the 2s, and you got a couple, a 3 seed left. Like, there's some chalk. You don't have a lot of double-digit seeds left. And they'll be okay. The world will be okay with this because you're getting what you want. You're getting the better teams to play now. The only reason everybody likes a car crash. So that's what the first round is. But you don't want too many car crashes because then nobody pays attention the last weekend during the Final Four. Like last year, who really watched that Final Four unless you were a UConn fan? It was like FAU, UConn. I think Houston was already eliminated. It was just a bunch of teams out there. So FAU was there. So, yeah. Not like the world wants.
Speaking of the world, jump over to the women's side real quick. A lot of people are going at Caitlin Clark about, I think she told somebody shut the F up and they caught it on camera. So a lot of people are going at her. Oh, if that was Angel, if that was Fluge, y'all would have a fit and this and that. And I'm like, but it's not. They have their moments too with their passion. You can't call it passion on one side and call it disruptive on the other side. It's passion all the way. These young ladies are going through their last college games. Let it go, man. Little do you know, with this resurgence of, it's another women's revolution. This time it's in basketball. You're going to have, quite possibly, a LSU versus Iowa matchup somewhere along the line if everything goes right. I think Iowa will come out on top this time. But.
Yeah, I think that has to happen on, I think they fight to see who plays South Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's Final Four. I think it's got to be Final Four. So I say that to say if you get a really, really good game, let's say that game comes down to the wire and it's like a 97-96 Iowa victory, and you see just Angel Reese goes off for 45, Caitlin Clark goes off for 42, and they stuffed the stat sheet, right? What people don't realize is that matchup right there sets the tone for what's going to happen in the WNBA. I said it a year ago. I said, you're going to have, this is what the WNBA needs. The WNBA is fledgling right now because they're not getting the viewership, But if you get the viewership with the women in college, when that influx of talent from college goes to the WNBA, especially those two giants and Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, that is your Larry Bird, Magic Johnson moment. You just have to cultivate it.
I think you're discrediting the ladies a little bit. And I'm, for me saying that to you is a hell of a shot for me. I don't think they, I think the hype is already there. I think that this group of ladies, and I'm not going to name one name in particular because I think, you know, Miss Cooks, they're just torch my lady Terps. It's a whole bunch of names that's popping up where they're balling and they're bringing excitement to the women's side. I don't think you need to have the final where it's, you know, back and forth with Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and they going, and then, you know, buzzer beat. I don't think you need that. I think if it, for some reason, if we had another incident in it right now, everybody would be lined up to watch where these ladies go for the WNBA. They've already set the tone. So right now, I think, how do I say this? I'm not trying to offend anybody. Even with the grace of past, I think they're charting new territory as far as excitement and with what they're bringing to the women's game. And it doesn't matter what people say. Whatever you do, whatever profession you're in, especially if you're heavily watched on TV, social media, whatever, you're going to have critics. You're going to have people that say you're too ghetto. You're going to have people that say, oh, she's passionate versus her being angry and upset. And to a certain point, you got to tell all them people, hey, you know what? Do me a big favor and take a big jump off a small pier. That's what you have to go to. But I disagree with you. I think it's the tone is already set. And the ladies that are coming out for the WNBA, people are already waiting for that. They don't have to do anything else. Whatever they do now, it's just going to be that extra icing you put on the cake. That's that 3 a.m. your wife's sleep and you didn't figure out how to get a piece of a cake out of that styrofoam loud-ass container in the kitchen without waking anybody up. That's what this is. And that's they got the cake out and they got everybody's attention.
I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Sticking with the women. We were supposed to talk about this with JoJo. I think she got tied up at work. I'll say this. She and I'll leave the floor open with this for her rebuttal. But she says Brenda Freeze should be done with the Lady Terps and, you know, she should move on. And I said, you know what? Let me look over Brenda Freeze's record since coming to Maryland. She came to Maryland 2002-03 season. So we talking almost 20 years ago, right? 10-18 the first season, 18-13 the second season, 22-10 the third season, fourth season, they win the championship. And it's like after that, Elite Eight.
Relevant.
I was about to say, are we turning our nose up to Elite Eight?
No, I'm not.
What are we doing here?
I'm reading it off here. I'm reading it off. Now this is after the championship, second round, Elite Eight, NIT third round, NCAA second round, Elite Eight, Sweet 16, Final Four. Then they switched over to the Big Ten, and if I'm not mistaken, 3 years in a row from 2014 to 2016, they won the Big Ten. So Final Four, second round, Sweet 16. Then it's second round. 2020, we didn't have a postseason. Sweet 16, Elite Eight. And then they go out in the first round this year. Overall, her record at Maryland is 582-161. I don't think that's fireable. I don't think you move on from a Brenda Freeze with that type of track record. I think it's time for her to retool, but she's going to have a different recruitment deal. Because JoJo brought up a good point. Too many good players have been in this program and they left and shined elsewhere. So there's that. Gentlemen?
I mean, we're in the age of basketball where everybody goes somewhere. I mean, let's talk about, if we look at Arizona, Caleb Love. He was supposed to go to Michigan after he left North Carolina. All of a sudden, he goes from there to, because Michigan does whatever, and they don't allow him to go there. So now he goes to Arizona and shines. Like, we're in an age where you're going to lose players. We're in an age where you're going to be a top coach, and you're going to have a bad season. Like, it's amazing to me, like, at times, like, the level of arrogance that some schools get from some success. Like if we're talking about Maryland. The men ain't won under since 2002. They haven't been relevant in the last, 4 years, 5 years?
Since they went to the Big Ten?
Like we gotta allow coaches to fail at some point. You're not gonna always make that run to the Final Four. Sometimes it's Sweet 16, look at Geno. Geno's had some of the last 2 or 3 years haven't been his best. They're making waves this year, but the year before, not really. Like, it amazes me the level of arrogance that we have when it comes to, like, certain teams. Like, Maryland, I don't know. Like, I don't know who told Maryland that, like, they were a blue blood. You're not. It's bad enough you still think you're rivals with Duke.
I don't get.
You had to get that in here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I I'm sticking with Brenda Freeze all the way. Like, ask the men's Kentucky and Kansas programs. Tell me how far they've been.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you're not going to start. Of course, you know, and I think that's going to change the women's landscape too. We talked about this, the NIL stuff. That's going to change everything. Where you're not going to have, I think that blue blood term, I think that's over with to a certain degree. You know, I think the new blue blood in South Carolina, if we're talking about women's, but, you know, now I don't know what you want. I mean, she made the Lady Terps relevant.
Exactly.
They're relevant. And I said this when Maryland switched to the Big Ten. Is, you know, we talk about the NCAA all the time, how greedy they are, but, you know, they set themselves back. The women, now they're winning in other sports. If you look at their sports as a whole, they're winning other programs. It's not just, of course, the NCAA just doesn't consist of basketball, men and women, and football. It's other sports. So, but football and basketball, they took, and when they joined the Big Ten, especially football, they took a leap back to the 60s. So they're playing in the 60s, and they got to catch back up to these big Michigan, Ohio State, and I don't know, and nowhere near on a level. That Maryland is the team where they take from you, they take their win. I always say this, they take their win. They come in there, they're hot, everything works for them, but how many times everything is going to work for you? They take you back to Brenda Freeze. You're talking about Elite Eight, Sweet 16. They ran into a buzzsaw this year. I think whoever ran into Miss Cooks in the first round was going to get cooked. Let's just say that. That's a buzzsaw. Many teams, a lot of teams ain't suited to guard a player like that. But yeah, like, no, give me, I'm with Miss Freeze all the way until she's ready to step off. And yeah, she may have had, you know, injuries here. It didn't work out. It's going to be like that. It's going to be players that come that don't work out, that for whatever reason. I'm not even going to get into the for whatever reason. It doesn't work out at that particular program, and you got to move on. And you can't be like, oh my God, they had this play and they had that. No, you got to move on and go get the talent that works in your system.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
And I'll leave that. Oh, go ahead, Midnight Rock.
No, I was going to say, I mean, you know, we kind of talk about the NIL like it's this newfound thing. I don't know if anybody saw the article, but like Rex Chapman talked about he took a pay cut to go to the pros. He was making, or they was offering him $700,000 to stay at Kentucky. And I'm going to throw the words out there, allegedly, because we don't want to be sued by anybody for any defamation. So, yeah. I mean, and I think, I'm not going to lie to you, I think, and this is wild speculation. Maybe Angel Reese got paid more to go to LSU
exactly. than
she was at Maryland. Like, that's the age we're in right now.
Did y'all hear, quick, I thought I sent you guys a story. Did you hear about the Alabama kid that went to...
Yes.
You saw that?
The tackle that went to Iowa for 2 months and then came back. And got $100,000 in NIL.
Like it's wide open now. We don't have to say allegedly now. And I think that's what changes the landscape. And I think that's why, you know, I said this a couple years ago, why certain coaches are gonna get run off because they can't have 5 stars on the bench. So yeah. But I'ma shut my mouth.
I'ma leave it open ended. And I'm the JoJo know where her chair at. She can pull her chair up when she's ready. We'll have this discussion. So I'm going to leave that open-ended. We're going to take and put a pin in that. Hold on to it for a second because she has to give her rebuttal. But I'm sticking with Brenda Freeze.
Okay.
You know, I'm stick. I could go into depth, but I don't have the time, so. Because we had to end, and it's time to wrap that shit up, B. So, Midnight Rider said he was going to do something tonight. He's supposed to be ranking my kids, man. And I'm geeked up for this. Let's go. Let's wrap this thing up and rank these kids.
So, last week during the selection show, it was brought to my attention that one of your kids picked North Carolina in the bracket. After doing some research, I saw that this person, we're not going to name any names, actually picked Northwestern and never finished her bracket where she had North Carolina winning. So I'm assuming that's the bracket she was talking about. But now coming in at 4, that's a very big drop from 1 to 4. The Terran. At 3, I don't know why he gets the short in the stick, but it's Dario. At 2, it's the X-Man, Xavier. I don't want to pronounce it wrong. And number 1 is Ouch. And I'm a little biased on that one, but there we go.
That's because y'all had that whole podcast together. Oh, man. So it goes Cashew, Xavier, Dario, Letern.
Yep. And she earned her 4th place. I didn't. Yeah.
Well,
after the Travis Shan mockery of last week. Yeah. So two things also to wrap it up, B. First, BJ, did you see that Tre'Darius White signed with the Rams on a very what's the word I'm looking for? Incentive laden type of deal?
Yeah, I've seen that. I think yesterday or the day before Brandon Bean had said the door is open for him to return, but I think they needed that type of deal to bring him back. So I wish nothing but the best for him.
Okay. And then 2, Mr. Shohei Ohtani, if you need someone to make bets, if you need someone to cover their bet debt, I got you. I can be your guy. I can help you out. You know what I'm saying? We like Connecticut this week. You know, double digits. We take Connecticut in the points. And then we want to take North Carolina in the points, too. So I'll let your boy show, hey.
Whatever baseball has to do, they're not going to let this man go down. He is the future of baseball.
Man, I said this. I think I said it Sunday. I said, whatever this guy's name, whatever his name is, he taking his rap.
Agreed.
They won't get the fans involved. he's taking this rap. He's going to he got to do what Michael Vick's cousins refused to do many years ago. Take the rap, do the time or whatever it is, and let Shohei pay you under the table.
Keep money on your books.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, with baseball, we will be back on Thursday doing our baseball preview with none other than the Midnight Rider over on that side right there, Danny, and myself. He'll be doing most of the talking. I'll just be setting him up. And
I gotta see if I can get a second.
Okay. Speaking of which, I didn't tell you this. Speaking of baseball preview, I got the Sports Illustrated baseball preview if you want to take a look at it.
I don't do Sports Illustrated, dog. I gotta stay loyal to my grind. I'm always sporting news, even though it don't exist no more.
Yeah. All right. All right. So, final thoughts? Anything from you, boss?
I have nothing.
All right. So, for the boss BJ, the Midnight Ride, I'm the big guy KG. Like we always say at this time, we don't do no overtime, baby. We are out of here.